Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. And let me give you an update on the trial. The verdict is in on Officer Nero. He was found by Judge Barry Williams to be not guilty on all counts. Judge Williams said he was neither detained nor arrested, he being, of course, Mr. Gray. And Officer Edward Nero is acquitted, I said, of second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and two counts of misconduct in office by Judge Barry Williams. So in the death of Freddie Gray. So we may have a commentary from one of the attorneys later on this half hour. I was going to call and talk about that. We'll be wrestling with that in a larger way tomorrow on our program at 10 o'clock. But I want to get you that update. So Officer Nero is acquitted on all counts. Now we turn our attention to Brazil. And in Brazil, we've seen the impeachment process against the president. And there's a very complex thing, and it involves race and politics and class and more. And we're going to get into that with our guest. Maria Luisa Mendonca is with us. Did I say that correctly, Maria?
Mendonça, thank you.
I didn't see the little thing under the sea. Yes, Mendonça. Director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, Professor of International Relations at the University of Rio de Janeiro, and Alexander Main is Senior Associate for International Policy at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. His focus is on U.S. foreign policy in Latin America, the Caribbean, and regularly engages with policymakers and civil society groups. And Alexander, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be on.
410-319-8888 is the number here to join us, or you can tweet us at Mark Steiner or log on to our Facebook pages. But do call in if you have the moment, 410-319-8888. So from the very beginning, Maria, just the question of what this process, what this means for Rousseff to have been attacked politically and then the impeachment proceedings beginning. And I think people are kind of very kind of confused by analysis, not knowing why it's important for us to care about it and what it really means.
Yes, I think that the main reason actually to impeach President Dilma is to stop the investigations of corruption, because she gave more autonomy to the federal police to move on with the current investigations of corruption. And actually today, I was just reading the news. There's new information in Brazil that there is an audio recording with one of the current ministers that was just appointed by the interim president, saying that the only way, he said that very clearly to his lawyer, that the only way to stop the investigations was with a change in government, getting Dilma out of office. And another reason is because the more conservative sectors of the political spectrum in Brazil have not been able to win elections since 2002. And now it's a way for the very conservative sectors in political parties to implement an agenda of cutting social programs and implementing more structural adjustment reforms and austerity measures. So I think it's very clear now for the Brazilian society, because there is no legal basis for their impeachment. They are accused President Dilma of a very common practice of basically the state issuing debt in order to pay for social programs, which all countries in the world do that. And previous administrations have done, including the Cardoso and Lula administration, as well as right now, if the same criteria were applied, at least 16 state governors will have to be impeached. And at the same time, the Congress members who orchestrated the impeachment are being investigated for serious cases of corruption. So I think the society, Brazilian society, now understands that very clearly, and there have been huge demonstrations against the impeachment and against the interim president just in the last few days, in soccer games, in concerts, large concerts and demonstrations. So I think the Brazilian society would not accept what is happening, because it's clearly not about corruption. It's the opposite. It's to stop the investigations of corruption.
And if you look, I think Alexandre de Maine, I mean, the numbers of people in Brazilian politics that are being accused of much deeper corruption. Even the gentleman who was the former head of the new president's party, you know, that he's been accused of millions of dollars in bribes around the Olympics and more in Rio de Janeiro. So what's the import of this? Let me let Alexander jump in for a moment, Maria. Sorry, Alexander.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, sure. I mean, the importance is that, you know, a lot of people are referring to what just happened to Dilma Rousseff as a coup, as a soft coup. And I think there's a good argument for that because really the spirit of Brazil's constitution has been completely violated with this impeachment. As Maria Luisa was saying, what Dilma Rousseff is being charged with is really not an impeachable offense. It's not any sort of high crime, which the impeachment mechanism is designed for. And yes, those that have been driving the impeachment campaign are arguably among the most corrupt politicians in Brazil. And for instance, Eduardo Cunha, who is no longer the president of the lower house where the impeachment campaign began, but who was still the president of the lower house when the impeachment vote was carried out, he's been found to have tens of millions of dollars in Swiss bank accounts, which he originally denied existed. And it seems extremely likely that this money, which he can't account for, is the product of various bribes. So we're talking about someone who has, essentially embezzled or been bribed with tens of millions of dollars, who is the one who has led this impeachment drive from the beginning. And you see the same thing in the Senate with the leadership in the Senate that's also facing very grave accusations of corruption and other crimes, serious crimes. So I think there is a real argument for this being a coup, something similar to what we saw in Paraguay in 2012, where the president there was also removed without, you know, any serious evidence against him, but merely because there had been a shift in alliances within the Congress, and the PMDB party, in this case in Brazil, which had originally been supporting the PT in a tenuous alliance that had existed since the PT, the Workers' Party governments first came to power under Lula da Silva in 2003, they shifted into the opposition. And I think Maria Luisa's got it exactly right. I think a big part of this has to do with the fact that Dilma Rousseff actually created the space, encouraged the autonomy of the judiciary, which led to all of these corruption investigations. That, if you read the Brazilian media, you would think that all the corruption is concentrated in what was the governing party, the Workers' Party, the PT. That's absolutely not the case. I mean, the Workers' Party certainly is a big part of it, but the other parties, including the PMDB, are extremely implicated in these corruption cases. So this is really a power grab, and as Maria Luisa was saying, we're talking about a conservative opposition that has been incapable of winning elections for the last 13 years, and they came close to winning in December of 2014 in the last presidential elections, and I think they felt that, you know, they should have won those elections, and from the very beginning, after those elections were held in which Dilma Rousseff won, they began a very, very aggressive campaign against her. First of all, suggesting that there was fraud in the elections, which was, you know, there was absolutely no evidence of that. And then very, very quickly calling for some kind of impeachment. And they sort of entertained different sorts of charges against Dilma Rousseff, all of them fairly farcical, including the current charges. And, I think there will be a very, very negative reaction. I think that's starting from the Brazilian public. To a certain degree, they've been under the influence of the Brazilian media, which just imagine if Fox News in the U.S. controlled basically every major media outlet, and it's something like that in Brazil. You have a very right-wing media that has a near monopoly on information, has had a tremendous influence on public opinion. Along with this, the government is clearly very unpopular at the moment, and this has to do with the economic situation, which is very bad, right. It's true. But at any rate, you know, this is a real power grab that's taken place, and the current government has decided to take things in a very, very different direction from anything that Brazilian voters have wanted. You know, they don't have a mandate for this. You now have a cabinet essentially just of old white men. There's none of the diversity that you saw before, and they've done away with some key ministries, including the Ministry of for Women, Racial Equality, and Human Rights. And you know, they're clearly trying to steer the country in a very right-wing direction, which is absolutely not what the Brazilian people have voted for. You know, in the last elections.
So, Maria Luiz, let me ask you a couple things I really want to explore here. And one was these demonstrations that have taken place around the kind of what happened to the Ministry of Culture. But more than that, the fact that, as Alexander just said, that now we're back to an all-white male cabinet in a country like Brazil, which is already wrestling with racism. But now it's really kind of it was pretty stunning.
Yes, exactly. But I think this is exactly what this interim government is about. Again, it's almost like if the Tea Party took over power after, like, the most conservative sector of the society took power after they were not able to win an election. So, again, Dilma is being impeached for no reason. She's not committed any crime. And Brazil is not a parliamentary system. It's a presidential system like the U.S. So you cannot impeach a president because her popularity is low at a certain period or because there is an economic crisis. None of this can be used as arguments for impeachment. So what we see now is a very conservative right-wing government, and also the role of the media in all of this is very important. The corporate media in Brazil, all the TV networks were calling for demonstrations for over a year after Dilma was elected and re-elected. It's important to remember that she was re-elected, and her approval rate was almost 90% at that point. But there was a huge media campaign calling demonstrations against the government for over a year, and the TV networks, all of them, were broadcasting those demonstrations live. And on the other hand, the demonstrations in support of the government were not being broadcast and were given very little visibility. So I think it is a combination of a media campaign against the government and putting out the idea that the most important reason for the impeachment was corruption, when she's not being investigated for any corruption cases. And at the same time, the Congress members who were orchestrating the impeachment are themselves being investigated. So I think what we see now is a huge change in terms of how public opinion in Brazil is the situation. There have been a lot of opposition against the new policies. Just 5 hours after taking power, the interim president, Michel Temer, eliminated the ministers of women, of racial equality, of agrarian development, of human rights, and the minister of culture and the minister of communications. That is also an attack on public media in Brazil. The head of the public TV in Brazil was just replaced by one of the executives of Global TV. So just as the comparison was, imagine if the director of NPR was replaced by an executive from Fox News. That just happened a few days ago in Brazil. Exactly. So people are just furious right now. The Brazilian society, the academic community, artists, there have been huge demonstrations. In the large soccer stadium over the weekend, there were huge demonstrations in support of Dilma, large concerts. Brazilian artists are occupying the Ministry of Culture buildings in 12 states. So I think, again, public opinion, these schools are just are like a photo of a certain period. And now, for sure, the public opinion is changing in support of the government and, the legitimate government, which is the Dilma government, because she was elected and re-elected, and they are realizing that this is a coup. So I don't think that it would be so easy for the conservative sectors of the society to continue with this plot. So I think that there will be reactions from Brazilian society.
So I'm curious, Alex, to turn to you and then come right back to Maria Luisa. I mean, when you look at the Workers' Party that's been ruling Brazil now for 13 years, not ruling is the wrong word to it, but it's been in power now for 13 years, that it has not moved the country to the left as it has in some other countries in South America, and not as far. So what was it that was fueling, and that, as you said earlier, and that all pieces have been written, the corruption is rampant throughout because of the way the legislature is structured, is rampant throughout the politics of Brazil, especially in the party of the new president, in what they did with the petrodollars and how they've been squandered. But having said all that, what is it really that, what is it, what's the essence of this? If the country really has not been shifted as far to the left that it has in places like Bolivia or Venezuela?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it hasn't shifted so far to the left. And, it's because you have a very different political panorama in Brazil in comparison with some of these other countries. In Brazil, you have to keep in mind that the Workers' Party never has had a majority in the parliament. So it's always had to count on more right-wing, caucuses, such as the PMDB, to remain in power.
Which is so the president, which is Temer's party.
That's right.
Right.
Temer's party. And Michel Temer, and it's very clear, you can see this from, the leaked WikiLeaks the State Department cables, has always been an enemy of the Workers' Party. And from the very beginning has been sort of planning how to carry out this power grab for many years now. There's really no surprise in what happened. I think you do have to give the Workers' Party some credit that even with the fact that they only had a minority hold in the parliament all of these years, and it's an even smaller minority now, and of course this is also what cleared the path towards this power grab, they have been able to, make some major accomplishments. And, of course, I think, a lot of people are aware of the Bolsa Família program, which gave millions of Brazilian families, helped them through cash deliveries that, were conditioned on kids going to school and so on, but really helped millions of families get lifted out of poverty. On top of that, and I think, Maria Luisa probably knows a lot more about this, but you've had some very positive affirmative action programs, a great deal more access to education, particularly higher education, for millions of, previously very marginalized Brazilians, and particularly Afro-Brazilians. So really some major social achievements, despite, the sort of small margin of maneuver that the government has had. And, there's a real risk of enormous rollback to all this, particularly as the new government that's in is defending a very strong neoliberal program, which involves major budget cuts. And as we're seeing, the first thing to go are the ministries and the programs that are more socially oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think this is going to spark a very negative reaction. And, I think, this government may be very short-lived, but at the same time, I think it will be difficult for the Workers' Party to, you know, recover from the blow that they've suffered politically, you know, in the short term.
Yeah, what does it mean then, Maria Luisa, in the long term? And also talk a bit about why it's important for people in the U.S. to even think about this.
Yeah, I think that the role of the U.S. is very important, and the position that the U.S. government takes would determine a lot of what is happening. We saw the same situation in Honduras and in Paraguay, so we are calling the Obama administration to be very vocal and in defense of democracy in Brazil and against the coup. The AFL-CIO wrote a letter asking Obama to call this a coup and to oppose what is happening in Brazil, saying that that would determine the legacy of the Obama administration in its foreign policy in Latin America. So I think it's very important for civil society organizations in the U.S. to call the Obama administration and tell them that they need to call this a coup and defend the elections that took place in Brazil just over a year ago, in which President Dilma was re-elected, saying that there is no legal basis for the impeachment. On the other hand, we know that the Lula and Dilma administrations were giving priority to the local oil company, Petrobras, the national oil company, to explore the new oil reserves, that the offshore oil reserves that were discovered recently in Brazil. So I think that the role of multinational oil companies also is important in this context. And although I agreed that we expected more from the Workers' Party in terms of advancing a more progressive agenda, still I think certain key areas that now are being dismantled, we know that would be devastating. All the cuts that the interim government is announcing on healthcare, education, and also in terms of foreign policy, the fact that the Workers' Party worked on forging alliances with Latin American countries. They created UNASUR, the BRICS, so all this south-to-south solidarity that was happening. So now the new Minister of Foreign Affairs in Brazil is from the opposite party, the PSDB, from the opposition party, is announcing that he wants to close several embassies, Brazilian embassies in Africa, in Central America, and aligning very clearly with the United States, and actually joining some of the trade agreements that are being discussed, the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnership that Brazil was opposed. And, you know, all the trade agreements within the WTO. So the new foreign minister already is announcing a much closer alliance with the United States. And but in general, I think if this coup in Brazil is a very dangerous precedent for the whole region. So I think it's a great risk that the U.S. government would go along with this, because it could create instability in Brazil and in the whole region.
Well, I wish we could take longer. We will come back to this. I think this is such an important subject to follow this, because we've been talking about Brazil a great deal, and with the Olympics coming up, it means even more to understand how the complications there for the Workers' Party and everybody else in Brazil. But Alexander, we only had like a minute left in the segment before we have to move on. Do you want to have a quick thought to close out?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, two things that you really have to keep in mind. One is, again, this new interim government, which has not been elected, is carrying out a mandate that they haven't been elected for. It's a total departure from, you know, the Workers' Party agenda, and they're trying to roll back a lot of the social achievements of the last 13 years. That's the first thing. The second thing, just to add to what Mario Luis has said, is that, yes, there are signs that this new government wants to align with the U.S., help it with the free trade deals, and so on. And unfortunately, rather than really, you know, respecting or rather recognizing, you know, some of the democratic problems around this impeachment process, the U.S. seems to be supporting what I think we really can consider a soft coup. They did so in the Organization of American States the other day. There was a special meeting around Brazil in which some of the left governments were trying to get support for this notion of a soft coup in Brazil, and it was absolutely rejected by the U.S., and they came out really strongly in support of this new unelected right-wing government that's grabbed power in Brazil. So that's very worrying, and it's something to follow closely. Well,
and we will follow it. I think it's really important for us to get this update here with two of you. I deeply appreciate it. Alexander Main, who you just heard, is a senior associate for international policy at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Maria Luisa Mendonca. Was I right this time, Maria?
It's Mendoza. It's like an S.
Mendoza. Pardon me. I won't get it wrong next time. Maria Luisa Mendoza is director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights. She's a professor in international relations at the University of Rio de Janeiro. Thank you both so much for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you both again very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a short break and come back. Stay with us as you look at sports and maybe a little update on the trial.